A lot being made of the FBI now with these stories, the back and forth regarding the Clinton investigation, also the Trump investigation, and the infamous 4-page memorandum summarizing what I guess 400-something pages of official documents that they say is going to be blockbuster. That conflicting reports are about the accuracy or the context of it and what it all means. And, of course, the Democrat has a memo that they say refutes the charges and the Devin Nunes memo. So I thought it would be good to maybe talk to someone who worked in the FBI, get a little bit of an idea of how what the process is and about and just a reaction about how the FBI is being talked about. I want to welcome Clay Mason, who is a former FBI agent to our program, friend of our show. Clay, welcome. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity. I hope I'm fully awake now after that ball game last night. It's tough on those 9 o'clock games with an overtime, isn't it?
Oh man! And when I got home, I watched the State of the Union. I was up until almost 3, and I was taking my daughter to school at 7. So I'm literally on fumes right now. What is your reaction when you see about how the FBI is becoming a little of a political football today on the political stage? What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is somewhat dismayed. My history, I started in the FBI in 1985 and went up until 2011. And, you know, in my 25-plus years, I never saw the FBI used in this manner. I can tell you, I worked a lot of public corruption cases over the vast part of my career, and I never saw an FBI agent adjust or approach an investigation based on his or her political leanings. Mm-hmm. They were always objective, let the facts determine where you go, and you're just seeking the truth. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear about these things that are potentially out there of how it could have been done by a very, very, very few people, it's troubling. I hope they get to the bottom of it. I know the morale at the FBI is still strong, but mm-hmm. at the same time, concerned.
Is it a threat to democracy, as some people say, that releasing a memo that would expose the FBI? I mean, let's say, and who knows what this memo actually says. I mean, Republicans say it's blockbuster stuff and will change the way you view it. Democrats say it's being overblown, it's out of context and factually inaccurate. But people are saying that it damages the institution to release this memo to give people, I guess, a view behind the curtains as to how things are conducted. Do you think, I mean, if there really is conduct that's unbecoming, or the finger was on the scale to help one candidate or the other, do you believe that should be played out in a very public stage or should be handled behind the scenes?
Oh, I think light, sunlight's a great disinfectant.
Yes.
And I think it needs to be played out, but I think that the premature release mm-hmm. of a memo of this nature is potentially a headline grab that would then skew people's thoughts as everything else goes on. They'll remember the first thing they hear being this little memo by a guy who I believe was sanctioned by his own committee for leaks.
You talking about Schiff or Nunes?
Nunes.
Yeah, yeah.
Nunes. So, you know, I think everybody needs to step back, catch their breath, and take this with a big grain of salt and say, let's look at something that isn't a partisan effort.
Yeah.
You know, the FBI that I know and worked in is very capable of conducting internal investigations. They do them all the time.
But Clay,
looking at police departments.
But if the corruption's at the top, let's say, I mean, I don't know that it is, but let's say that that Peter Strzok and Christopher Wray and McCabe, that they were involved in the corruption. How can they be? And I'm just saying hypothetical. I mean, they may not be. I'm just saying. But you say that they can provide their own oversight. But if they're corrupted at the top, how can you provide oversight if the people conducting it were?
The one mechanism in this that I've seen very little reference to is that some of this investigation about Strzok has come from the Inspector General of the Department of Justice,
That's right.
which is separate from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that right there is telling that, okay, there is another objective measure that we can insert into this equation to look at it and determine without all this partisanship going on.
Yeah.
If the corruption is at the top, you know, Mueller vetted this situation and got rid of Strzok quickly.
Yes.
McCabe is now gone. Ray is a newcomer that has no history with this situation. Mm-hmm. So, again, looking at it, I think it's best if it plays out publicly, but I don't think it needs to be prematurely done.
Yeah, you mentioned the IG report that's supposed to come out, I think next month or maybe even early March, I think within the next 60 days or so. Nobody's really talking about that much, but that could have a powerful impact on all of this, whether it be the FBI investigation, the Clinton investigation, even the Trump investigation. And it's getting very little attention, but that's the one I think people probably should keep an eye on.
I think they need to wait and see. I spent 13 years in the Washington, D.C. area, much of that time working with Inspector General's offices, primarily with the Department of Defense, but some at Justice, some at Transportation, some at Education. They have very skilled, qualified investigators within those groups. The Department of Justice is right there. And they have the ability to put together complex cases, mm-hmm. and look at these situations. And, you know, they've already uncovered that there were a lot of text messages between these two parties, you know, and they brought that to light. So I think everybody really ought to just wait and see what that report says without a four-page memo from a clearly partisan environment.
Clay, I know you've read the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page text messages, and you're aware of them. Does that demonstrate preference or bias? I mean, if you were being investigated and by somebody, and they were saying those things about you, would you be justifiably alarmed, or would you think there's bias, or could you say, well, you know, they may not like me, but I think I'm getting a fair deal? I mean, because I think that's where it comes down to is where people who support President Trump think that it's bias, and people that don't like him say it's just a matter of political preference. Everybody has it and didn't come into play.
I think there are times when it can not come into play. And this would be one of those times. Those two individuals, one of whom was not even an agent, was an attorney at the FBI. And they're not going to have the wherewithal and the influence to direct an investigation.
But Peter Strzok did, though. He was involved in that. But Peter Strzok would, though.
Peter would. But that's a large team effort, mm-hmm. and one individual on there, everybody that's going to be assigned to that are top-notch people, mm-hmm. and they're going to come in with a clean slate. Let's look at the facts, and I don't think that one person is necessarily going to be able to influence how an investigation is conducted in that environment when you're talking about people at the level of looking at a presidential candidate and so forth. I just don't think that the rest of the people in the room are going to kowtow to one individual's position.
So some of the concerns people have, though, is that they believe that there was a pervasive feeling in the agency, and they look at things like drafting the exoneration letter of Hillary Clinton before ever even interviewing her like that, and the fact that she wasn't put under oath, the fact that it wasn't recorded. Do you, looking at what you know about her investigation and how it was handled, is that standard procedure to begin drafting, you know, exoneration letter before the investigation's over, whether it's her or anybody else? I mean, is that something that typically does happen or has happened in the past, or would that be unheard of?
Well, I've not encountered investigations where exoneration letters were ever written to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an unusual step. Because of the nature of the type of investigation, it was mm-hmm. an ongoing political candidate running for president. The non-recording of the interview, until the last few years, the FBI very, 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 very seldom recorded interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the policy probably within the last 8 or 10 years to allow, in some instances, it's not done on every interview anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not unusual. The not having her do it under oath, that could be one of two things. It could be the the position of the Bureau was, we don't need to put her under oath, because if she lies to us, she's lying to federal agents, and there's a federal felony statute against that anyway. And the second thing is, that could have been a condition of her agreeing to be interviewed by her attorneys, mm-hmm. that they would not go so far as to put her under oath.
I see, yeah. One of our listeners had
so
a question.
That could have been that.
We were talking about the oversight, that the FBI can provide oversight over their dealings. One of our mm-hmm. listeners says they may have the ability to do it, but do they have the willingness to investigate this? And I guess by extension of it is, if it's going to project poorly on the agency, how interested are they going to want to be to really investigate it and make it public versus just try to handle it behind the scenes and quietly? Does that make sense? Because, I mean, listen, what I want
yeah,
to
– Yeah, it does.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And again, I go back to the statement I made about sunlight is a great disinfectant.
Right.
The culture of the FBI agent, the street agent, the 9 or 10,000 of those versus, you know, the other employees and some of the management. And, well, I won't say some of the management. I think management is the same way. FBI agents want to seek the truth. Any organization of 12,000 people is going to have a couple of
sure.
folks that mess up along the way.
Yeah.
The nature of those mess ups can be dramatic. You know, you can look across the history of the FBI and find bad apples. But by and large, the vast, vast majority of people are good, honest, integrity public servants that want the truth out there. They do not want a lasting legacy of an FBI to be, you know, that they messed up this investigation on purpose for political reasons. Mm-hmm. They want it nipped in the bud. They want a clean slate and move forward. And if that involves airing some dirty laundry for a while, that's part of it.
Yeah.
We're
running out of time here, but I'm going to go back to the memo real quick. As far as releasing, and I personally believe if they're going to release it, that they should release a redacted form of the official documents to give supporting evidence. I mean, I think just simply releasing a summary is no different than someone writing an op-ed for a newspaper. You know, I mean, I think that if you're going to release the summary,
right.
you should also make the supporting documents available too, so people can corroborate it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Clay, I appreciate the time.
I
hope it gets a break, though. But thank you so much. I always enjoy talking with you. It's always interesting and I always learn a lot. Thank you.